Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So, pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Lord Terry.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good wherever in the world you are. Welcome to the Power Hours. This is Reverend Terry Power, and I am joined tonight by my partner, my lady, my love. Let me get the switch to flip here. There we go. My lady, Robin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey. All
Hi,
right.
Honey.
Hi, darling. How's it going?
Hi. Oh, pretty good. What's the weather like out there?
Yeah, well, I'm calling in. I'm coming to you guys live from Boulder, Colorado tonight. And I was in shirt sleeves today.
Wow.
Believe it or not, I'm in Boulder, Colorado. It was 50 degrees today.
Hmm.
And there's a very good chance of it getting close to 60 tomorrow.
Wow, it's going to be a lot colder here than that tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand it's supposed to be pretty brutal for my return trip home.
Mm-hmm.
So you got some snow right here?
Yeah, we've got about 2 inches or so, just enough to make it messy.
Yeah. Well, they had snow here last week. It's all melting off in
mm-hmm.
this heat. But there's still piles around here at the hotel where I'm staying, so.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, yeah, it's beautiful here. Sunshiny
mm-hmm.
days, you know, the snow-capped mountains. It's, you know, it's everything
mountains.
You expect in the Colorado Rockies, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm.
So what kind of temperatures do we have at home? Well, I'm
it's,
not studying here in teaching classes.
Yeah, it's kind of like in the mid-20s, low 30s
Okay. Well, I miss you and home, but I don't miss that cold.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I wish I was somewhere warm. That's for sure.
Yeah, let's. Yeah, we need to get jobs in the Caribbean or something. Let's.
I agree.
And you know, we'll do the shows from down there.
Mhm. Sounds good. I'm all about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, tonight we are continuing our series on the Fool's Journey. Through the major arcana.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at card number 11 now, the Justice card.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, the fool has taken his journey or her journey. If you're doing this, if you're doing this journey along with us, I have for a number of years on a regular basis used the fool's journey as a personal journey of self-discovery. And I find that I learn something about myself and the world, and occasionally those around me, as I take this journey with the fool through the major arcana. So perhaps a brief recap of how we got to where we are, so that we can continue along with the fool. And, of course, we start with card zero, the fool, the beginning. You know, we start off, we're basically born. The fool is a baby in all ways, fresh, open, spontaneous. This is, you know, nothing imprinted on this being. And that's why the number zero for the card is so appropriate. It's, you know, this is, you know, there's it's kind of a nothingness, and it is open to experience and begins his or her journey.
Mm-hmm.
Setting out the first card, an entity that is experienced and met with, is the magician. And then back-to-back, the High Priestess. And this shows the kind of the opposites of the masculine and the feminine, the active and masculine power versus the unconscious, the intuitive, the mysterious and feminine side.
Mm-hmm.
So once he has met the magician and then the High Priestess in turn, and has learned about the two poles, as it were, of the masculine and the feminine, the active and the internal, the fool continues the journey and meets the Empress. And the Empress, of course, embodies everything that is the mother. In
right.
fact, the fool finds his or her mother there at the Empress card. It is the world of nature, the world of sensation. It is everything about touch, taste, smell, feel, sensual in the way that it acts on the senses, not a sexual thing, but sensual.
Mm.
And experiences the abundance and the love and the nurture of the mother. From there, the fool moves on to meet the emperor. The emperor is the father figure. He's finally presented with rules, some structure and authority. He learns his place in the world to a certain degree and sees that there are patterns. And from there, he moves on to the Hierophant, which is about education. Belief systems begins to develop his or her own concepts of the universe. And starts to work within groups and to determine self-identity as well as group identity and a sense of belonging. When he finds the next card that he encounters is the Lovers. And here he or she begins to experience the urges of, to a certain degree, puberty, beginning to feel the sexual yearnings of the body and to
mm-hmm.
seek a partner. And a relationship, not a group, but an individual relationship now. The fool has to look at his or her own beliefs, determine values, and how he or she is going to approach this new relationship and these new feelings. Now, as the fool is becoming an adult, the fool encounters the chariot and looks at discipline and willpower and achievement, taking control, being assertive, and getting what is desired. Then from there, the fool moves on to the strength card, where he or she learns that sometimes power is in a touch, not in a sword. That tolerance, patience, love, kindness will often achieve as much or more than the sword, than a command. From here, the fool moves on to the hermit. The hermit is seeking. The hermit is asking why. And now the fool begins the search for answers. The deeper answers. The why-ness of our existence, of his or her existence. Why am I here? Why was I born? What is my purpose? And there is a period of deep introspection involved with the hermit. From the hermit and that period of reflection, the fool is presented with a vision, the Wheel of Fortune. This vision shows all of the interconnectedness of everything. It is the big picture. From there, the fool can begin to express himself or herself outward again. Concepts of destiny, concepts of purpose are all expressed with this vision, and the fool begins to see that there is order in the world, and it's all connected. And there is a scheme and a universal plan to the world and to the universe, to everything. And then the fool moves on to encounter the Justice card, the Knight's card. Now the fool has to look at cause and effect. Really, in so many ways, this card is about looking back over one's life and saying, what have I done? Take responsibility for those things that were not done, or that were done that were maybe not the best way. Have we harmed someone? Have we hurt a relationship that we wish we could fix? Have we cheated or stolen from someone? Have we done something that we need to now turn and attempt to make amends, to wipe the slate clean? Now is the time to look at that. It's decision time. Are we going to take these steps towards self-development or slip back into that unawareness and close off any further growth? That's the message for the meditation on the Justice card. Look at fairness. Have you treated someone unfairly? Do you need to make amends? How have your decisions affected relationships? How have your decisions affected your life? The consequences of this cause and effect. Remember, I teach all the time that time is an illusion. That humans in our shell here create linear time. We have to have linear time to understand cause and effect. And through cause and effect, we learn. That ordering of our experiences and cause and effect relationships help us to understand things we have done and the consequences. This is the card that calls us to a deeper contemplation of those concepts. What have we learned? What have we done? How can we wipe the slate clean, start fresh, and make the important decisions remain true to our path, or just let it go and slip away? That's what the meditation is for this next few weeks until our next card. So, my lady, my love,
yes.
What are your thoughts on the Justice card? Now, I talked about it as a meditation, not as a reading, but
right.
You probably have some ideas about the card itself, just in the meaning of it and the picture and the image, and what does it tell us?
Mm-hmm. Well, Justice card's fairly straightforward. You know, pretty straight out there. Justice card is about making decisions and making judgments sometimes about your own life and which path you should take, trying to do it as in an fair and balanced, non-emotional way, you know, to base it on actual things you need to do, you know, because all too often people want to, root for the underdog or just sort of use their heart rather than their head when they think of things. So the Justice card is really about making sure that you look at something in an analytical way and not so much with your heart. And again, it's about balance and judging that, which way is going to be the best way to go and how you're going to execute something. I'm looking at the card, and there's his robe is sort of red and powerful and strong, and that talks about power, absolute power, being the judge, as it were, and holding people's fates in your hands. But also the green trim on the road denotes money. It can denote healing and compassion. So there's sort of, a duality there to that. The ultimate power, but not to forget to be compassionate and wise in your judgments and not necessarily completely heartless, but to be analytical and to do the best for the greatest good, not necessarily driven by your own agenda or somebody else's agenda.
Interesting. I think there's an androgynous quality to this card because I see Lady Justice. Now, perhaps I'm biased by our judicial system and the concepts of, Lady Justice, blind justice, and it's always a female holding the scale. So perhaps I'm seeing a femininity here that was not intended, or it could be intentionally androgynous. But I do agree with you about it being a card of the head, not of the heart. A lot of times in our teachings, we will tell people to get out of their heads and to follow their heart and their intuition.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, just sometimes, occasionally, we need to judge things with a little more analytical spirit. And try to remove personalities and emotions from the situation and simply weigh the facts. Lay them on the scales of justice, pros on one side, cons on the other, and see which way the scale falls.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think there's certainly a time and a place for that kind of analytical, intellectual appreciation of the facts. Whereas most of the time we probably teach someone to follow their heart. Let their heart be their guide. But when this card comes up, that's probably an indication that it's time to get out of your heart and into your head for just a little bit.
Yeah, there's that. I really feel like it's meant to be, I really feel it's meant to be a male energy. I could be wrong, but that's my opinion. I don't see it as an androgynous so much.
Okay. No, that's okay. Some of the research I did specifically refers to it as her.
Mm-hmm.
The only place that I actually saw a gender association was a her. So I find that interesting. But the same way we're talking about it's a card of the intellect, the sword in the hand of justice, the sword in one hand and the scales in the other. Clearly, the suit of swords and the sword in the tarot always symbolizes the intellect.
Mm-hmm.
Analytical and logical thought, the entire suit of swords, is about mental, intellectual. So I think that that's somewhat interesting when we were making that association, and then to think about the sword, because I was listening to you talk and looking at the sword.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that in and of itself takes another layer of symbolism to this card.
Well, for me, a lot, specifically the sword implies, as in other places in the Rider-Waite, the sort of Damocles, as it were, hanging over you, the waiting for the outcome. Which way are you going to go? How is it going to happen? When is it going to fall? When will that edge touch down? And is it going to touch down for me or against me? You know, it's the old thumbs up, thumbs down thing, but in this regard, it's the sword. And again, that's repeated time and time again, that symbolism in the Rider-Waite deck.
Okay.
So yeah, we're not always going to see the cards the same way. That's for sure.
No, absolutely, and I think that's one of the interesting things about us coming together, and one of the things that we show other people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we don't always agree.
Yep.
Nor do we have to. And even though we can maintain, and the fact that we can maintain a loving relationship while still having differences indicates that we are people in our own rights, and therefore we can be better partners.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, one would be subjugated completely to the other. And I'd much rather have a partner you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Struggle's too much like work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the other thing I'm noticing about the Justice card is that, like the High Priestess card, he sits between the pillars with the cloth draped behind him, again, indicating knowledge and balance, and the veil of the unknown decision behind the cloth, the gateway, if you will, to knowledge. So, you know, if you're looking for these symbols, you'll see them time and time again repeated in the cards. And a lot of these symbols, and again, I know we've said this on other shows, but a lot of these symbols are still used in other traditions, Masonic traditions, and some of the ceremonial traditions, the OTO and some of the other, again, ceremonial traditions. So that's why it's really good to know the Rider-Waite deck, because they use a lot of the same symbology, and you'll see that if you ever become a Mason, you'll see the pillars of knowledge repeated there. And on he's got a crown on his head, and he's holding the scales, again, indicating balance and justice, because that really is the symbol of justice. And again, what information am I going to get that's going to weigh my decision one way or the other?
Yeah, you know, I find it interesting that you have a different idea about that purple drape. I don't see it as the veil, and I don't see these columns as the black and white columns of mystery. I don't see the columns that way at all, and certainly I see the purple color of that drape. Royalty, compassion, honor. All there are things I see with that purple. I think the purple's there for a reason.
Well, maybe, but I see the pillars as being pillars of knowledge, but also not so much black and white as much as neutrality and balance. You know, how are you going to proceed? You don't have clear black and white. You know, this is what we do when we make decisions. Oftentimes, it's not a clear-cut black and white decision. It's a lot of gray that you've got to sort through and decide and make the best decision possible. You know, who's right on any given day can be subjective to one's previous experiences and judgments, basically, and prejudices, even.
Yeah. Another thing, though, you were talking about the scales again. You mentioned that you're making these decisions, and it's not always black and white. And that's why I think that the scale is in the left hand, because that is the intuitive hand. We talk about getting into our heads for this, and I think that the sword, also symbolizing impartiality, it does cut both ways. But the sword image in the Rider-Waite, I always think calls us to the mental, to the intellectual, to the analytical, and. And in my readings, the way I read the cards, when I do a reading, that's what the sword always means to me. But the scales are in the left hand, the intuitive hand. So while we have to employ logic, we still have to have a little intuition in those gray areas. Because, like you said, it's not black and white, it's gray. The columns are gray. They're not the black and white of mystery and decision, but they're the gray of neutrality, the gray of the physical world, but they're also the gray that is in between the two extremes. And sometimes that intuitive hand has to be applied when we do make these decisions even if we are using the intellect to try to weigh all the facts.
I agree with you to a certain extent, but again, I will differ with you on my interpretation of the sword. I see the sword as a physical edge. You know, the reality of life, it's going to cut you one way or the other. This is the real world. This is how it's going to go. And he's wielding that sword in judgment, basically. You know? But
oh, I can see your side of it. I'm going to the sword.
Send
every time I see
letters.
The sword, I'm you're what?
I said,
I didn't hear what you
send
said.
Your cards and letters too.
Yes, we look forward to your letters.
All the people who are going to disagree with me.
All the people that agree with you and disagree with me. It's easy to get in touch with us. You can email us surn.org@gmail.com. Please, we look forward to your letters. The thing that we teach when we're teaching people to read is that the symbols on the cards are going to mean different things to different people. And once you personally agree on a language with spirit, then spirit will direct the card to be drawn that holds the symbols that give the message that you're supposed to receive. And if one card means this to me, like that sword means intellect to me. To Robin, it means judgment and cutting both ways. And if it means something different to you, whatever the message is that we're supposed to achieve, we're supposed to receive from spirit, that's the card that will show up and the symbols that will show up. Whatever they're supposed to mean to you. Not necessarily what Robin and I think.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
If I'm supposed to get a message about making an intellectual decision, then I'm going to get the Justice card. And I'm going to be called to the intellectual aspects of it because I see the sword. Robin's
mm-hmm.
going to be called to a meaning about something else, however subtly different or however similar, because of the way the symbols mean to her. Spirit will direct the message to you through the cards. That's the cool part about divination, is that any form of divination is a prearranged language between you and spirit. That's it. That's the whole of it. And if that sounds overly simplistic, I'm sorry, but it is. It is pretty damn simple. Once we determine that language, then spirit will communicate with us in that language, and all you have to do is keep watching. It is, however, the bottom of the hour, and it's time for us to take a break. So I have queued up a song by Tuatha Dea. They're going to be our guests. At least Kim is going to be our guest on Thursday night. And we're going to be
mm-hmm.
talking with him about the group, their activities, Caldera Fest, and the Green Album, and everything that's going on. So you want to make sure and tune in Thursday night to hear that interview live. But this week we're playing songs by Tuatha Dea, and I've got a great one here with Wendy Rule. Called Aradia. So stick around, listen to this great song, and maybe a commercial or two, and we'll be back in just a few minutes, but stick around and we'll talk about reading the cards when we get back.
from this world. Whenever ye have need of anything, once in the month, and when the moon is full, ye shall assemble in some desert place, or in a forest, all together join to adore the potent spirit of thy queen. My mother, great Diana, she who fain would learn all sorcery, yet has not won their deepest secrets, then, my mother, teach her, in truth, all things as yet unknown, and ye shall be free from slavery, and so ye shall be free in everything. And as the sign that ye be truly free, ye shall be naked in thy right, both men and women also. And this shall last until the last of thy oppressors shall be dead. And ye shall make a game of Benevento, extinguishing the light. And after that, ye shall hold thy supper thus.
Join us Thursday, May 26th through Monday, May 30th, Memorial Day weekend 2016, for Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival. Join 29 of your favorite bands and musicians, including Tuatha Dea, Dave the Bard, Dragon Ritual Drummers, Wendy Rule, S.J. Tucker, Digis Christ Superdrum, and many more. Great music, great food, great vendors, and great workshops presented by the musicians themselves. Plus, the official CD release of The Green Album, a great collaboration album by many of the artists that will be at Caldera Fest. For more information, visit Caldera Fest on Facebook or go to www.calderafest.com.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Fowler, and these are the Power Hours. So tonight, we have been talking about the Justice card, and my lady has been joining us for the evening. Robin, are you back with us?
I'm here.
All right. So we've been talking about the Justice card. We've been talking about the Fool's Journey and how to use the Justice card in our meditations and the journey of self-discovery and growth that comes with the Fool's Journey through the Major Arcana. We have talked about the Justice card and all of the deeper meanings, and even had some conversations about differences of opinion that Robin and I have about the a meaning of some of the symbols. Mm-hmm. Now, we have not yet talked about what the card means in a reading and how to interpret this card when it shows up in a reading. So, mm-hmm. My lady, would you share how you interpret the card in a reading?
Well, generally it's going to have to do with making decisions, or sometimes it could even be about which path you're going to take, you know, which road is the better decision to make. You know, oftentimes in life we are presented with, you know, two paths we can go on, to borrow the Led Zeppelin lyric, and you have to make the choice which path you're going to go down. So for me in a reading, whenever I see this, it's about decision making. It's about looking at something as well with balance and justice in your heart, and some, you know, measure of distance, and not looking at it totally in a totally emotional way, you know, keeping some measure of sensibility about it.
Okay. I definitely think of fairness.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's one of the words that comes to my mind anytime I see this card, is about fairness. The decisions that have to be made certainly need to be made from an intellectual point of view. Try to take you know, the heart out of it to a certain degree. But we certainly want to make sure that we look for the truth and fairness. And sometimes to a certain degree, cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I mentioned in the description of the meditation, is how have our actions of, and the consequences of our previous decisions affected us?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we weigh that with the decision that we have to make now? So, you know, there's certainly some concept of cause and effect, as well as the fairness and justice. And justice is sometimes just as literal as it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this may be one card that's probably the most literal, or one of the more literal of the major arcana. You know, justice is justice.
Mm-hmm.
Justice is fair. Justice is analytical. Justice is without prejudice, and trying to remove emotional attachment to the facts. And that is justice by just about any other definition.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, though, I have spoken with some readers that actually see legal issues in this card. And that could be, to them, you know, for that reader, again, different symbols mean different things to different people. And for the people that see the law, it may be a bias toward the, you know, blind justice of the courts, and
mm-hmm.
And seeing that symbolism. And again, that may be where my bias towards seeing that symbol as a she comes from, and I admit that. I admit that readily. The gender of the person holding the scales doesn't really affect my interpretation of the card in the reading,
mm-hmm.
but it does affect my emotional connection to the card. And you know, I see a certain correlation between that figure and the justice of our legal system. You know, the symbol of justice holding the scales. So, you know, if that card comes up in a reading around other cards that give you the idea that maybe this does have something to do with the courts, maybe it shows up in a reading, you know, associated with the Hierophant or the Emperor, cards mm-hmm. that are about rules and about groups. It may be something to do with authority, with mm-hmm. government, law. You know, you got to look at the cards around it. If you've got the card, maybe the devil card nearby, that certainly indicates certain corruption. It indicates someone who is being subjugated, often by their own choice. But when you put that with justice, how does that apply? Are we looking at imprisonment? Are we looking at maybe false justice? So, you know, a lot of times the cards around the card will give you some ideas to where you're supposed to take this.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Did you have anything
also,
else?
Well, I was going to say also so there are times when you're doing a reading and the justice card will come and it'll stick out glaringly from the cards around it, almost as if it's incongruous. And usually that's a clue that you need to look at this in a different way. You need to look at it in a less impassioned way, and you need to maybe rethink a decision sometimes. I've had that happen to me in readings as well.
Okay. So it's like in your damn face, and you can't
mm-hmm.
not look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit saying, look at this card, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, and also if you've got a preponderance of another suit in a reading along with justice.
Yeah.
You know, if you have something like Pentacles come up with the Emperor and the Justice card, well, here we're looking at specifically, you know, that one might draw you somewhat inexorably toward contracts or wills or inheritance, depending on, you know, perhaps the Ten of Pentacles shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've got something with Wands, it could be something about a message. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of ways that you can look at this. Swords. You know, swords would indicate, you know, something intellectual. Cups would indicate something emotional. You know, perhaps
mm-hmm.
having to make a decision about a relationship that you're in, beginning
right.
or ending. So, you know, a lot of times the entire reading gives you more than a single card.
Mm-hmm.
But when a major arcana card shows up with a preponderance of a particular suit, it calls you to look at how that card applies to the energies of the suit that seems to be trying to get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's about making decisions. About making decisions about Pentacles would be about material things. Swords about intellectual things, ideas, thoughts, the mind. Cups about relationships, and Wands about ideas and information. So when you take that into account also in the reading, you'll find that there's a whole lot of guidance laying right there waiting for you.
Yeah. Yep, I agree.
All right, so we do agree on that part.
Yeah, we do. Imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually agreed about most of it. I just think she's a she, and you think the sword is ready to fall on someone's head, and I just think it symbolizes ideas. So, I mean, other than that, we pretty much see this card the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is 10 minutes till the top of the hour, and perhaps it is time to begin our catching people up, letting them know what we've got going on, what's coming up in the next few weeks, giving them ways to get in touch with us so that they can email us or however they want to get in touch with us. So I do want to remind everybody, I said something at the break, that let people know that we do have Tuatha Dea. We're going to be interviewing on Thursday. So that's going to be a fun interview. And we're going to be talking about Caldera Fest. Of course, we're focusing on Thursday nights on interviewing artists that will be appearing at Caldera Fest. Some of them are associated with the Green Album, some of them are not. But they're all going to be at Caldera Fest, and it's going to be a blast.
Oh, yeah.
I am stoked. I cannot wait until we are there, and it's just going to be, the energy is going to be so amazing. I mean, you can't say it often enough, pagan Woodstock. We're going to have our own Woodstock. And people that aren't there are going to listen to the stories of us that were. And you're gonna miss history.
Absolutely, I agree.
You know, this is gonna be one of those moments of I was there at Caldera Fest. You know, same people, the same way that people talk about, I was at Woodstock, I saw this, I saw that. We're going to be the people talking about Caldera Fest in that same way with love and mysticism and all the wonder that's going to be a part of this. So if you're not there, you're going to miss it. So, you know, go find the link. I'm guessing that someone's going to put it in the chat room for me very quickly so that I can let you guys know the link to the Caldera Fest website, because you're not going to want to miss it. You're not going to want to miss it. Anyway, so next week on this show, Robin and I are going to be continuing our series on circle, on doing ritual. Next week we're going to be talking about circle casting. And interestingly enough, today, one of the guys that works in the building where I'm conducting the training saw my ring and my stone around my neck and asked me a few questions and asked me, you know, what do we do in a ritual? And I was talking about we start with casting circle. And he said, well, what does that mean exactly? Well, tune in next week, and you'll hear my answer and Robin's thoughts and a great deal more information. But that's the whole show. He's going to be talking about circle casting, just the circle. We're going to break this down into bite-sized pieces, and we're going to talk about just the circle next week. The what, the why, the how, and everything that goes with it, we're going to talk about the circle and sacred space. So you're not going to want to miss that. Then the following week on the 23rd, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm looking forward to that. That should be really interesting.
Well, I mean, the whole series that we have designed for this is just exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be great to break it down and talk about the individual pieces and the components. So next week is circle casting, and the next Thursday is going to be our guest is going to be S.J. Tucker. So that's going to be a great time as well. Then the following week, the 23rd, is our full moon ritual. That's 2 weeks from tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure you're around for full moon ritual. And then Mama Dina Lamont will be our guest on the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And that that closes out February for the Power Hours and for Under a Shady Tree. And I know you've got a couple of guests that you're working on getting on Monday nights. So
Yeah, nothing I can, you know, advertise yet, but yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah, we have some great surprises, I hope, coming for us. And the website for Caldera Fest is www.paganmusicfestival.com. So that's where you go so that you can find out all of the information and make sure that you are there. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're not, you're going to be listening to stories from all of us that were. And you're not gonna want to miss this. So, my lady, how does somebody get in touch with us?
Well, they can always get in touch with us at the littlestonebridge@gmail.com email address. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of either of us. But you can also reach us through our various sundry.
So you're saying that's littlestonebridge@gmail.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Didn't I say that? I thought I did. Okay.
So you put V at the beginning of it, and I want to make sure people don't put V on the address.
Oh, okay. Excuse moi. So, but you can also get in touch with us at any one of our Facebook pages, and they are Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page. Also, you can get in touch with me at the Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page. You can reach Terry at his Facebook page, which is Rev Terry Power HP or Terry Power, just his name, Terry Power, in Cosplay, Pennsylvania. And it also says something on there about the CERN radio station. You can also get in touch with us in regard to radio station business at surn@gmail.org. Is that right? I never do that one right.
No. You never get that one right. I don't know what the mind block is that you have on that.
It is. I'm old, and my brain doesn't want to think anything else.
Yes, ma'am. If you say so. All right. I will agree with neither. But anyway, it is surn.org@gmail.com.
Aha.
But in truth, the easiest way to find us is honestly the address that we said before, littlestonebridge@gmail.com.
Absolutely.
That will get you to directly to myself and or Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the Spiritual Unity Radio Network Facebook page. Go to any of those pages. Little Stonebridge Pathworking, Spiritual Unity Radio Network, Rev Terry Power HP, Spiritual Wellness Physical Health. All of those are like pages. Click like. Mm-hmm. Let us know you're around. We'd love to know that people are actually touched by what we have to offer and that the message is getting out there. So, my lady, did you have any final thoughts on the evening?
No, it was fun as always. You know, anytime we do any of these cards, I always tell people at the end of the show to please, if you struggle with the meanings for these cards or you want to have a deeper meaning to the cards, and familiarize yourself with them, the best way of doing that is to put the card somewhere where you look every day and spend some time meditating on it. Live with the card for a week or two and in your day-to-day and see how it affects you, see what it makes you notice, see how it makes you feel in and out of the day. And you may feel different about it when you look at it in the morning as you do when you look at it in the evening. And then, as I said, sit down and do some meditation about it. Ask to meet the card. Ask, you know, bring it into your life and see what happens. And it can be very interesting.
And I will completely agree with the aspect of meditating on it,
mm-hmm.
Because that is how we get the message from the card in the Fool's Journey.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the message in the card for your own self-discovery and your own growth.
Yeah.
These cards are in a certain order for a certain reason. And taking that journey through the cards will help you to understand you and your place in the universe better, develop a deeper connection to the divine, and very likely to the people around you as we grow and learn about
very
ourselves,
true.
Et cetera. So I think that's about it. And I think, it's not. I want to thank all of our listeners. I look at the numbers on a regular basis, and you're out there telling your friends, and we appreciate
Yay.
That.
Very
now,
much.
The numbers are going up every week. We find that we've got new people that have joined the family, new people that are spending time with us. And you're choosing to spend time with us, and that is seriously cool. And we're honored that what we offer has meaning to you. So
agreed.
Keep spreading the word. Keep spreading the word. Let people know that we're doing this and that we're trying to be spirit-led in our messages and help people to learn and grow. And, you know, that's all we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we truly appreciate all the people that take time out of their lives to share with us. So thank you. We are truly honored.
Yep, thank you very much. We are honored. He's absolutely correct.
Okay, and with all of that said, I believe it is now time to stop and to wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.